sunshine.
And we're just thanking you that you came to church this morning. So see all the smiling faces. That's good. Let's take just a minute and look at the bulletin and talk about some announcements here. You'll notice that in your bulletin there's a slip in there, a green one, that says that there's going to be some Thanksgiving provided for some families that need a little help. And so if you'd like to help with that, you can fill out this little green slip and turn it in, put it in the offering plate, and they'll be contacting you. I'm sure it's to purchase some food and stuff to help someone out. So y'all look at that. And then looking in the bulletin, by the way, we had a wonderful harvest party yesterday. Everything went fine. The weather cooperated. A lot of folks came out, so we're thanking the Lord for that. So hopefully some contacts were made there, and maybe some folks will be coming our way soon. So thank you if you had any part in that. Okay, this Wednesday, October the 25th, we will be continuing on part three of the Equipped Wednesdays, the Bible, your finances, and stewarding your legacy. And Shannon did a wonderful, wonderful job on Wednesday night, and he explained a lot of things, and it sure helped me out. So if you can be here on Wednesday night, and we'll be in part three of that. Then on Thursday, October the 26th, the Ladies Bible Study at 10 a.m. in the Home Builders, and at 7 p.m. at the Joshua Ministry House next door. And then on Saturday, October the 28th, Gabe Rule will be with us, and he'll be doing the hospitality and the art of follow-up to help the workers understand a little bit more on how to do that. And so if you can, I believe today is the is required for you to sign up on that. So, you know, might want to do that before you leave today. I'm not going to go any further than that right now. If you can read the rest of the bulletin. Our sick list, our prayer list, I'd like to go over some that's not printed on the little yellow prayer list that was given out to you this morning. But we're praising the Lord for Frances Lawson. She got part of her testing done this past week, and she's home right now. I think maybe sometime during the first part of this week, she's going to go back, and they're going to talk to her about the heart stent that she needs. So y'all remember her. Keep her in your prayers. Also, Miss Kim Brummett is progressing in her endeavor here toward the chemo that she'll be getting. So she has different things scheduled over the next 2 or 3 weeks, so y'all pray for her. And then I spoke with Judy Martin back here, and she says that her sister, the oldest one, Iva May, will be coming home on Tuesday, and she'll be in under hospice. And so y'all remember her in prayer. And then the other sister is doing okay. And Harold Baskett's sister still taking her treatment. Bob Justice's mother, we had her on the prayer sheet, so remember her in prayer as they work through her problems there. Also, I'd like to ask you this morning to remember Wanda Huskins, and she and Ron are still tied up, tied in, and so pray for her. And then, of course, those that we always pray for, Randy and Pat Scalf and Pat Shaw. And this morning, my wife is at home. She doesn't feel well, so y'all pray for her. And that's all I have written down. Is there anyone else that has a prayer request this morning? Yes, ma'am. Okay, so Scott goes tomorrow for another biopsy, and okay, let's remember Scott in prayer. Anyone else? Okay, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Brother Steve can come then and give us what the Lord's laid on his heart. Father, we do thank you for this day. Lord, we do thank you for your blessings to us. And God, I've seen or heard about so many prayers that have been answered this week. And Lord, you are so good to us. Lord, we thank you for that. God, we pray for these this morning, Lord, that are still battling things, dear Lord. We pray that you'll be with them. And God, that you'll let them get through this, Lord, that you'll help them, you'll give them strength. And Lord, as we was talking with Miss Nancy this morning, the little two-year-old is looking well and doing good, and she started her treatment, Lord. And God, we pray that your hand would be upon her in that treatment, Lord. And our heart goes out to that family. Thank you, Lord, for all that you have done. God, we pray that you'll be with our pastor today as he brings the message. Be with the singers. God, I pray that the things that are done here will glorify you, lift you up. And Lord, we pray for the nation Israel. God, we pray that you'll be with them. And Lord, we know that your hand's on them. And God, we pray that you'll give them what they need. Thank you again for loving us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Danny. Well, we're in Samuel. As you go through the book, you teach what you get where you go. And looking at Samuel, 1 Samuel chapter 4 this morning, starting in there, I think either next week or the week after, I'm going to back up since we're seeing kind of a history made in the Middle East right now around Israel and the people that believe the Quran, say it that way. You look back at history, I've been looking at a little bit of history and ancient history. And Muhammad wrote that around 610 BC. And if you follow that lineage back from him backwards into the Tower of Babel, you can see how that came through the Persia area of the world. Babylonian Empire and all that was in that same timeline as the Bible was being played out with Samuel and Judges and all that was going on. That was going on in another part of the world there, near there. So it's very interesting to look at that timeline and how all that parallels. And it's all came down again today as it did at this time with Israel, because they had totally ignored God. they had totally forgotten what the ark meant and what it symbolized, the power of God on the nation of Israel. Well, once the nation of Israel, the people, lose their vision for God and godly things and started worshiping idols, which they were openly worshiping idols in the nation of Israel at that time, at this time, God withdrew his power. It didn't, the symbol of the Ark of the Covenant, which there's a picture of it. Most of us have seen that picture before, probably something similar. It was a box that was basically 4 foot wide, 2 foot deep, and two foot in depth. And it had the Ten Commandments in it. It had a jar that had manna in it. And it had the rod of Aaron in it, the one that bloomed. And those were symbols of God's power on the nation of Israel. Well, just like in those days, the Holy Spirit could come and go. It wasn't permanent. And the prophets that had the Holy Spirit on them, God breathed that on them at the time. And now, because of what Christ did on the cross, we are living in the church age, a complete new dispensation than from what went on early in the New Testament and back into the Old Testament, where the Holy Spirit came and went. Now we have him full time because of the salvation that Christ and God so freely give us. If we believe, the Holy Spirit dwells within us. But we can quench that too, and we know that from New Testament verses. Just as the nation of Israel at this point quenched God's power on them. Now, I'm going to read a little bit there in chapter 4, 1 Samuel. And the word of Samuel came to all Israel. Now, that doesn't mean he was saying anything to them. What it means is, if you remember back in chapter 3, God came to him and told him what was going to happen. Told him that the priest and the sons were going to die, and God was going to withdraw his power from Israel. So what it's saying is, what God had told Samuel was about to come true. And now Israel went out against the Philistines to battle and pitched beside Ebenezer, and the Philistines pitched beside Aphek. And the Philistines put themselves into an array against Israel. And when they had joined in battle, Israel was smitten before the Philistines, and they slew of the army in the field about 4,000 men, a great loss at this first battle. The nation of Israel at that point was shaken and understood that they needed God's power. All of a sudden they wake up and think, well, let's just go get the ark. They didn't understand that God had withdrawn his power from them because of their sin, because of a nation that had forgotten God. So, and when the people were come into the camp of the elders of Israel, wherefore hath the Lord smitten us today before the Philistines? Let us fetch the ark of the covenant of the Lord out of Shiloh unto us, that when it cometh among us, it may save us out of the hands of our enemies. It doesn't say anything about praying, seeking God's face. They had forgotten God. But they thought now they could just run and grab the ark and it would save them. The symbol of God. They recognized the symbol, but they didn't recognize God's power on their lives. Or the lack of it. So the people sent to Shiloh, and they might bring forth thence the ark of the covenant of the Lord, the host, which dwelleth between the cherubims. And the two sons, Eli and Hophni, were, and Phinehas, were there with the ark of the covenant of God. And when the ark of the covenant of the Lord came unto the camp, so they had moved it out of Shiloh. It was supposed to never have been moved. If you look prior to this, Shiloh was established. Shiloh is just north of Jerusalem today. You can still go and see where it was. It's on a high ground there. It's north of Jerusalem, probably 10 miles or less, where Jerusalem is today. And when the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord came into the camp, all Israel shouted with a great shout, so that the earth rang again. And when the Philistines heard the noise of the shout and said, "What meaneth the noise of this great shout of the camp of the Hebrews?" And they understood that the ark of the Lord was coming to the camp, and the Philistines were afraid, for they said, "God is come unto the camp." And they said, "Woe unto us, for they hath not been such a thing there hereforth. Woe unto us." I mean, they were scared because they knew the power of God. Even the enemies of the nation of Israel at this time knew what God could do. And Israel was just floating along. They got in trouble, and they run to Shiloh. They run like we do today. We get in trouble and we think we can run to church and get it straightened out. Well, a lot of folks that say they're saved, but their life doesn't show it. The nation of Israel was worshiping God falsely because they had all the idols in their life. Ugly idol worshiping. We've got the same problem today in the world. People get in trouble and they think they can run to church and solve that, or they can run to the pastor and solve that. And the pastor will ask, "Well, are you reading the Word? Have you read the Bible? Have you read this or that? Have you prayed about this?" No. Well, that's where the nation of Israel is at. And that's why we've got a world today, a country today. Our great countries was formed by godly men that read the Bible and set up this great country that we have. And how far we've drifted away from that. Our Constitution and Bill of Rights and all that stuff that these men wrote, references, Bible references and meanings from the Bible. And today, this great country that we have, and many other in the world, has forgotten who God is and what He really is and what Jesus really is. You ask people, are they saved? "Oh, yes, I go to church." "Well, have you trusted Christ as your Savior?" "Oh, well, I know about that, yes." Well, knowing about it, these heathens, these Philistines knew about it. They knew about it. They knew about God, and they knew the power of God. And verse 7 says, "And the Philistines were afraid, for they said, God is come unto the camp. And they said, Woe unto us, for there hath not been such a thing hereforth. Woe unto us." I mean, they were worried. "Who shall deliver us out of the hands of this mighty..." Now, here's where they make a mistake. Gods. You see, these heathens, they were looking back at Egypt, because it says right here, "These are the gods that smote the Egyptians with all the plagues in the wilderness. Be strong and quiet yourselves like men, O ye Philistines. that ye may not be servants unto the Hebrews as they have been to you. Quiet yourselves like men and fight. And the Philistines fought Israel Israel was smitten, and they fled every man into his tent. And there was a very great slaughter, for they fell of Israel 30,000 footmen that day. Because of these men, these Philistines, of course, set gods, because they are familiar with the gods of the Egyptians that the Egyptians served and other parts of the world. We know later on that all, if you look at a timeline, that all goes right into Greece and all the gods that they had on the hill there in that great stone Colosseum that they had built. And Paul walks in and talks about all these gods, and they say, well, it's okay, you can just put your God here with the rest of our gods. And we see today the suffering of Israel again. Have they forgotten God? Now, I'm going to do in the next week or so, and I'm not sure when. I may start it next week. I'm going to go back to the Olivet Discourse, and we're going to listen to what Christ says to the disciples. I'm going to take those verses and compare that with what Revelation says and what Daniel says in the future of what's going on and what we see happening today in the world. I'm telling you, folks, the end is nigh, and we need to tell our families and our kids and ourselves that you better know that you know that you've trusted Christ as your Savior. And not only that, we need to be living it. We can know these things because the Philistines knew about them. But they were thinking about gods, not the one God. So we see this, we see what a terrible disaster comes. And we can read later on that the Philistines not only destroy the nation, the army, but they come in and historically speaking, went over, I think it's in, hang on a minute, I've got it written here somewhere. Historically speaking, in Jeremiah chapter 7, 12 through 14 and 26, 6 through 9, indicates that Shiloh was destroyed. And there's just some other verses that indicate that. So there, it looks like that not only the Philistines took the ark at this time, they went to Shiloh and completely leveled the place. Burned it down, tore it down at this time. Shiloh never got put back. In the event of this battle, we see that the army of Israel was completely wiped out, basically. And for the next 20 years, they were subject to the Philistines. Now, Samuel was there. Samuel was surviving in that atmosphere. For 20 years, he was probably 35 or so. When we come to the end of the next 20 years and we see Samuel come to the people and say, look, if you're ready to believe who God... So we look at a time thing there, and a lot of that generation passes away, and a lot of them got killed in this battle. So you have a new generation coming, and Samuel starts preaching about the Lord and talking about the Lord. So we're going to see that later on. So these men counseled about going to war and taking the Ark of the Covenant to war, but you see, no communication with God, not even recognizing that they need to pray to God or ask God, or is this the right thing to do, to take the Ten Commandments that's in this box, in this golden box that's God's business, and the Philistines get a hold of the thing. It's a terrible thing. They think the power of the gods is on the box, and the nation of Israel has forgotten what it symbolizes, or either they recognize what it symbolizes and don't honor it. We see people today that we see ugly things on the streets and people protesting and saying, leave these people alone, and they've destroyed some of the stuff in Israel today that in an ugly way, terrorism. They have no belief in any kind of God. And I'm afraid to say that the Philistines were that way. They believed in gods. And did the nation of Israel get to that point? Well, I guess they did, because God was done with them at this point. Now, this is a cycle in the Old Testament that goes over and over again, plumb into the 450 years or so before the New Testament, the silent years, and some of the book of the Maccabees and some other things was written historically that's not in our Bible. But they would get defeated. They would come out of it and pray to God. God would save them out of that misery. They would serve God for a little while and then forget again and go right back into the same cycle. Over and over and over. I like to look at our country in thinking about that cycle. You know, relatively speaking, we are a very young country in the world. Traveling in Europe and some of these, in England and the Ukraine and Romania and anywhere you want to go in the world, the old, old stuff. You look at buildings and they're 1,000 years old or 1,500 years old or 2,000. I mean, just on and on. And we think about our great country being 200 some years old. Is the cycle about to get to where God's going to give up on us? I hope not. We need to turn back. We need a revival in this country. People need, I don't know, you know, some people have just not been taught what's in that box. Well, what is that box, they ask? Well, they don't even know what's in the box. And that's not a fault of a lot of good Christians. It's never been taught properly. And the word gets softer and softer, and the preaching gets softer and softer. And soon those kind of things are just forgot about. And what else is being not preached about God's word? And that's where the nation of Israel was at. War had came to their doorstep, just like it has today. Again, the ark was a visible token of God's presence. Well, they didn't even pray about it. They just went on and thought that they could just take it into the battle and God would take care of things. It was not the ark that gave them victory. It was the God of the ark. They'd lost that in generations. They preach Jesus down there. Well, I'm not sure I want to go down there today preaching Jesus. Those Jesus people, I mean, I don't know about those guys. What's Jesus mean? It's been forgotten in a large part of our society. What even Jesus means, what the word means. But I can tell you right now, you go out in the street somewhere and you start talking about Jesus, it turns heads and people says, I don't want to hear that. Still got power. Still got power. In many of these countries you go to, you start handing out Bibles, you'll have a crowd there desiring the word, desiring somebody to tell them the truth about it. And has our great country got away from that? I am concerned about our country. And if we don't stand up every chance we get and tell people what Jesus is and tell people what the Bible is and what it's not the Bible, it's God that saves you. It's just God's word. The word that saves you. The power of salvation is through Christ and what he did on the cross. Of course, back in this dispensation, this ark and the symbol of it in the tabernacle and the offerings and all that is exactly what God set up for these people to be saved at this time. So, people that come in this door, are they trusting in the symbolism of this sanctuary? Oh, I went to church today. What's in her heart that matters? Just like it was in the nation of Israel, what was in their heart mattered, and they did not have God in their heart. They had walked away from the truths of the word. They didn't want to hear it anymore. They had provoked the Most High God to think that the presence of the ark would bring victory, not the presence of God. They didn't have the right kind of spiritual thinking. Folks, we are blessed in this church. We've been taught, and I have too for the last 40 years. I was in another little independent church in West Virginia. We have been taught to understand the true meaning of salvation, not the symbolism of it. And we have churches today that play church. They want to entertain. Same thing here happened to Israel. They had gotten so far away, they started worshiping these other gods, just like the Philistines were doing. They started looking like the world. And God said, that's enough. You're my chosen people. I've chose to save you. You're going to be the nation I use to go into the future. But God said, I've had enough with this generation. So the army of Israel ended up losing about 30,000 men, says there in verse 10. What a terrible slaughter that day. Just because they were trusting I don't want to be disrespectful at all for the Ark of the Covenant. But it symbolized who God was. It was a box, but it was a gold box, and it was sanctified by God and the priest. And they had forgotten who it was about. And it ended up being just a box. Let's take it down there to the battle and that'll save us. Well, God had already departed the nation of Israel at that time. Samuel knew it. So we see Eli's two sons get killed in this mess, just like God told Samuel. And then we see Eli himself is sitting outside the gate, and the word comes that these 30,000 men were killed. And it says that he fell back and broke his neck, and he died right there. just exactly what God told Samuel was going to happen. And that same day, probably within days, Shiloh was burnt, tore down, gone. So everything God told Samuel happened. Tragic death of Eli, tragic death of his family. Not only did that, but one of his daughter-in-laws died in childbirth. I mean, when God says something, he means it. You know, we can read God's word lightly. We can just read verses and say, okay, I've done my reading, but we need to look at every sentence and what does that mean? Stop and think. What, now, what's God saying to me right there? See, we've lost that. Bible study. Everybody's in such a rush today in the world. I mean, it just seems like we don't have no time for nothing. I thought technology was supposed to give us some time, but it don't. It just makes things swirl faster and faster. You get emails and you can instantly communicate with somebody on the other side of the earth and send a letter and just hit a button and it's there. What wonderful technology, but I'm telling you, it just seems like one thing right after the other. It's go here, go there, get this, do that. It's a strain on families. Our families need to purpose in their lives not to just look at a box, but slow down and worship God and understand who He is. We need to slow our youngins down and say, you know, you need to read the Word. You need to study the Word. I've got a granddaughter that's in Crown College, and she wants to be a history teacher of ancient Bible history and early American history. Both she loves. She tells me, she said, Paul, said, the kids I went to school with at a Christian school, 90% of them don't have an inkling about biblical history or early American history. So that's why they just don't understand what this great country is about or what the Bible's about. They've not been taught. Doesn't mean they're not good kids. They've been in church. They've been saved. They don't understand the details of it. Just like the Philistines didn't understand. They said gods, not God. Had the nation of Israel drifted that far away? I think they had, because it said they were worshiping idols. Had the nation of Israel that we see today drifted that far away? No, you have to say nothing happens and doesn't go under the guise of God seeing it's going to happen. Is what's happening today in Israel part of God's plan? I think after you study the Word and understand Revelations and understand Daniel and look at what Christ said on the Olivet Discourse, yes, today what's happening in the nation of Israel and that part of the world is a great sign of end times. Can we say when it's going to happen? No, God didn't tell us. He just says it's going to happen. Do you believe God? I do. It's going to happen. It happened to the nation of Israel then, and it's probably going to happen to the nation of Israel now. What's next on God's timeline? He's going to show up in the clouds, and we're all going to go home before the bad, really bad stuff starts. The nation of Israel had give up on worshiping God the correct way. They didn't pray. They didn't recognize He was even there. They were just looking. They were just going through the motions. How many people today just go through the motions? Preacher Lastly used to call it the birdbath Christians. You remember him saying that? Birdbath Christians. They're shallow. They don't study no deeper than that right there. Bird bath. That's so true. When I first heard that from him, I thought, wow, that's just a good old country boy analogy of what's going on. I don't want to be a bird bath Christian. I want to understand and read and be able to help young people and help my family to know what the right things are. Well, my time's up. I've yakked away another 30, 40 minutes. Thank you all for coming out today to Sunday school. I've rattled on this morning. I think I will go back to this, all of that discourse next week. It may take me a couple weeks to get through all that, to get us a timeline. I want you to have an understanding all the way back into, I'll probably bring it from the Tower of Babel forward just really quickly, and then we'll look at all of that discourse with Christ. Anyway, let's pray and we'll be dismissed. Lord, we thank you for your love and your grace. Lord, I pray for the nation of Israel today that you strengthen them and let them know that God is there for them. Let them know that this is part of what God wrote down in the Bible is going to happen. Lord, we pray you bless that situation and not let it get out of hand. Lord, we pray for our country. Give our leaders wisdom. Give them godly wisdom. I'm so afraid that so many of our leaders just does not know God. Lord, help us today with all that. Now, Lord, more importantly today, we pray for our pastor, that he preaches the word, that someone will hear it today and their hearts will be pierced, and they'll understand that the Holy Spirit's dealing with them for salvation. Pray that someone gets saved today. Lord, we love you and thank you. All you've done and all you've written down in your word for us to have. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen. Thank you, guys.